From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, on this hump day. That's right, it is Wednesday, June 8th, 2016. We are so honored that you've allowed Current Sports to be a part of your weekday afternoon once again. We've got a steaming hot show in store for all of our listeners out there. On today's Current Sports, we will talk about the Detroit Tigers. Folks, the Detroit Tigers have now won 5 straight games, doing it in thrilling fashion last night. By far, the most exciting game of the Tiger season so far. Unbelievable stuff last night. If you did not stay up to check out what occurred in an inning plus against the Toronto Blue Jays last night, we are going to give you wall-to-wall discussion and an opportunity to weigh in on where exactly you think this Detroit Tigers team is at right now and moving forward. Call in 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Also, breaking news concerning tennis star Maria Sharapova. Of course, you do know that discussion and dialogue has been taking place in recent months concerning her positive test for meldonium, which is a banned substance in the world of tennis. Yeah, the hammer was laid down today, folks. Find out what that suspension alludes to. And on the back end of the show, we, of course, will talk about the death of fighting superstar Kimbo Slice, and we'll also give you a preview of Game 3 of the NBA Finals between the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Golden State Warriors. But before we dive into all of that jazz, you know what's next. Here are your Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners. All right, folks, tonight is the night. The championship game of the Dean Shipley Diamond Classic takes place at 7 p.m. at Cooley Law School Stadium. Holt and Grand Ledge will compete tonight in the championship game. Grand Ledge will try to capture a third straight Diamond Classic title, 7 in 8 years, and get this, 26th overall. Unbelievable stuff. We will have coverage of tonight's finale via WKAR.org. I will be filing a post-game report. So when the dust settles on that game tonight, just log on your laptop, smartphone, or your iPad or tablet and check out our report and coverage of that game. We'll also have coverage from that game on tomorrow's Current Sports Radio as well. ESPN.com voted Sparty, that's right, Michigan State's mascot, as the top mascot in the Big Ten Conference. The site is quoted in saying, quote, "The current costume mascot version of Sparty wasn't introduced to Michigan State fans until 1989, but in just a few short decades, it has become a prominent league staple and routinely ranks atop various lists of best Big Ten mascots." So congratulations to Sparty being named the top mascot in the Big Ten Conference via ESPN. Denzel Valentine and Gary Harris will join fellow former Michigan State star Draymond Green in preparing for the USA Basketball Olympic Trials this summer. Now, Valentine and Harris were announced Tuesday as two of the 25 players on the USA Men's Select Team, which will help prepare Green and the American Olympic hopefuls for the Summer Games in Brazil. Green, one of 30 finalists for the U.S. Olympic team, told website The Undefeated that he would, quote, "love to play," end quote, in the Rio Games. Detroit Mercy is expected to announce today or tomorrow that the basketball program has received a commitment from German seven-footer Malik Itchler, who spent a season at McDuffie Prep in Granby, Massachusetts. It's a private, non-sectarian, co-educational college prep program. Now, the Titans are also adding Michigan transfer Cam Chapman to the roster, according to a person with knowledge of this situation. Now, Chapman made the game-winning three-pointer in an upset of Indiana, if you remember, in the second round of the Big Ten tournament this past year. He will have to sit out 1 year per NCAA transfer rules. The Michigan State football team will reportedly add another transfer. Tight end Matt Siebert announced via Twitter that he plans to leave Buffalo and become a Spartan. He likely will have to sit out the 2016 season due to, of course, the NCAA transfer rules. The 6'3", 245-pound freshman from Traverse City set out last season as a redshirt with the Bulls, who play in the Mid-American Conference. The Detroit Tigers. What a game it was last night. Pulled off their fifth straight victory last night against the Toronto Blue Jays with a walk-off single, 3-2. The final of that one, Blue Jays pitcher Aaron Sanchez had been unhittable for most of the night with 12 strikeouts and only one hit on 93 pitches through eight innings. The Tigers trailed 2-0 heading into the ninth with shortstop Jose Iglesias. Hit a leadoff single in the ninth and started the Tigers' rally. Quote, after Iglesias got that hit, the energy went through the roof. That's a direct quote from manager Brad Ausmus. Now, the Tigers were able to close the score to 2 to send the game into extra innings, and the win was sealed by an Ian Kinsler walk-off single in the 10th inning. The Tigers are playing the Blue Jays again today at Comerica Park. First pitch is set for literally just 4 minutes from now at 1:10 p.m. You can find the game on Fox Sports Detroit, and throughout this hour, we will provide updates on that game. And sad news coming out of the state of Michigan and, of course, the city of Detroit when it comes to media pundits that have meant so much to Detroit sports over the years. Former Detroit Tigers broadcaster Al Ackerman, who coined the famous phrase, "Bless you, boys," for the team leading up to the 1984 World Series, he has sadly passed away. Ackerman worked for stations including WDIV and WXYZ in Detroit during a 25-year career in the D from the 1960s to the 1980s. Ackerman is survived by his wife, Teresa Ann, two daughters, a sister-in-law, and grandchildren. He was 90 years old. All right, to news concerning the Lansing Lugnuts now. Yesterday, the Lansing Lugnuts announced that five players were named to the Eastern Division All-Star Team. First baseman Juan Kelly, outfielder Andrew Gilliatt, and pitchers John Harris, Dusty Isaacs, and Angel Perdomo were selected in a vote by the MWL's field managers. They will represent the Lugnuts on Tuesday, June 21st, in the 52nd MWL All-Star Classic played at Perfect Game Field at Veterans Memorial Stadium in Iowa. And last but certainly not least, breaking news here, folks. Tennis superstar Maria Sharapova was suspended for 2 years today by the International Tennis Federation for testing positive for the banned substance meldonium. The ruling, which was conducted by an independent three-person panel that was appointed by the International Tennis Federation, stated that Sharapova did not intend to cheat, but that she bore sole responsibility and very significant fault for the positive test. Sharapova has responded saying that she will appeal the decision. That wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. Let's start the show.
Bouncing ball, fair ball, and a walk-off win for the single. The Tigers get two in the ninth and one in the tenth. That's a happy group down there tonight. The Tigers are two over the 500 mark for the first time since May the 4th.
Yes, that is how we start this afternoon's Current Sports. Welcome, 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 ladies and gents, boys and girls, to another fantastic hour here on WKAR AM 870. I am your host, Al Martin, and there really is no other way to start today's show, okay? What a game last night. The Detroit Tigers rallying back to stun the Toronto Blue Jays 3-2. Making it not one, not two, not three, not four, but five straight wins for the team. My, oh my. What a game. What a game last night, right? It goes to 10 innings. The Tigers just look absolutely dead in the water. Everything alluded to a Blue Jays win last night, folks, but this team did not give up. Our phone lines are open, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Again, we're going to start with the Detroit Tigers. We're going to transition into the breaking news concerning Maria Sharapova suspended 2 years for her use of the drug meldonium. And after the first break, we will invite Brian Calloway, lead prep sports writer for the Lansing State Journal, who will give us an account of a pretty cool award ceremony. The first annual, the Lansing State Journal Prep Awards were last night. Brian Calloway got a chance to sit down and chat one-on-one with Kirk Cousins, former Michigan State quarterback, great. Now, of course, with the Washington Redskins, many awards were handed out from the Mid-Michigan area, the various talent from the world of prep sports in the area last night. This is a very cool event. So Brian will join us to talk about that moment last night and to also give us a preview of tonight's Diamond Classic Championship game between Holt and Grand Ledge. I'm looking forward to that one, folks. I'll be in the house tonight to cover that game. And on the back end of the show, we'll talk about Kimbo Slice and also the NBA Finals. But the Detroit Tigers, folks, unbelievable game last night. The Tigers actually entered the ninth inning with just one hit. One hit, that's it. Off of Blue Jays starter Aaron Sanchez. And if that name rings a bell to all of our mid-Michigan listeners out there, ding, ding, that's right, it should. Because Aaron Sanchez is formerly of the Lansing Lugnuts. How cool is that, right? And he was lights out last night. The hottest lineup, batting lineup in all of baseball could not hit off this man. Again, just one hit off of him. He was lights out. And you know, looking at that game, all signs pointed to that four-game winning streak getting snapped. But all of a sudden, something happened, folks. Ian Kinsler hit a bases-loaded single in the 10th to win the game for the Tigers. But, you know, the setup was even more impressive than that. You know, in that ninth inning, you know, you see Miguel Cabrera. And there was an interesting moment. I want to go to a moment, if you remember, in that ninth inning where Miguel Cabrera, you know, he's sitting there on the plate, right? And Blue Jays closer, Roberto Anzuna, there was a moment where he whizzed the ball right past Miguel Cabrera's face. And, you know, Miggy kind of shrugs it off. And for many ball players out there, if something like that happens in a huge moment like that, it can throw off concentration. It can throw off focus. You know, maybe Roberto is using strategy there to try and just, you know, stop the bleeding at this point. Because this is when the Tigers started to rally in the ninth inning. And you look at that moment, and Miguel Cabrera, He shrugs it off. He goes back at bat and then knocks a single to right field that scored Ian Kinsler the game-tying run in the bottom of the ninth. That was absolutely huge, folks. Huge. And I love how Drew Sharp of the Detroit Free Press, he wrote an article profiling that very moment and putting it in context of how there aren't many ball players that can do that. You know, Miggy, how Miggy's one of those guys that, you know, you don't want to poke the bear with him. Because if you poke the bear when it comes to Miggy, it's not going to throw off his focus. It's only going to cause him to hone in and become even better. He rises to the occasion. You awaken the sleeping giant with Miguel Cabrera when you do something like that in a moment as monumental to the game as that was last night. But Miguel Cabrera just goes up there. He smacks that single, and boom, we have a tie game, bottom of the ninth. And Ian Kinsler, bases loaded single in the 10th to win the game. You heard the call via Fox Sports Detroit there with Mario Mpemba and Rod Allen on the call. And the Tigers now, 5 straight, 3-2 win over the Blue Jays last night. The Tigers actually move into a tie for 2nd place in the American League Central. They are tied with the Kansas City Royals at 30-28, just 2.5 games behind the Cleveland Indians at 32-25. The Chicago White Sox are 29-29. I mean, they've had, the White Sox have just had an epic collapse, because we were certainly singing a different tune a few weeks ago concerning the White Sox and how big of a hot streak they were on. I was actually talking with Brad Walker of WKAR not too long ago. Brad is a huge Chicago White Sox fan, and you know, Brad said, "Yeah, you know, we're having a good stretch of baseball right now, but this is the Chicago White Sox we are talking about." And I kind of laughed it off, like, "Hey, well, enjoy the moment right now. You guys are rolling, you know, a solid team from top to bottom." He's like, "No, just give it a few more weeks, Al," and yeah, he was right. The White Sox right now are on a 4-game losing streak. The Royals right now are on a 6-game losing streak. The Indians right now, who actually hold 1st place in the American League Central, they have lost 1. And the Minnesota Twins, well, I won't even bother to bring that team up, right? They have the worst record in all of Major League Baseball at 17-40. Ugh, ugly, ugly, ugly stuff. The Tigers are the hottest team in the AL Central right now with that 5-game win streak. And no more than 4 games, folks. No more than 4 games separate the top 4 teams in the American League Central. This division is anybody's. Now, again, it's baseball. I'm not trying to, you know, blow more air into the balloon here as the Detroit Tigers conversations across the board on various sports talk programs across the state of Michigan and beyond are feeling pretty good about the Tigers. But again, it's so early. This team has shown many stretches throughout the year thus far of inconsistent baseball that you can't get too high and you can't get too low with this team. I still believe that this Detroit Tigers ball club is a 500 team, okay? 500 team. And we certainly could have been singing a different tune if the Tigers adhered to the inevitable after 9 innings last night and lost that game to Minnesota, and that rally didn't happen. I think that, you know, last night's game, you know, just kind of shows you the type of mentality you have to have if you want to win in the majors. Despite stellar starting pitching from Aaron Sanchez, again, just 1 hit off of the man as the game went on, the Tigers didn't give up. They didn't give up. And you have to give a lot of credit to the Detroit Tigers relief pitching for not just digging themselves a bigger hole as that game went on, you know, only allowing 2 runs. That was impressive to me, because it could have spiraled out of control. When the bats weren't hot, usually the theme for this team has been when the bats aren't hot, you can't rely on the relief pitching. The relief pitching is just going to just further dig you a hole to try and dig out of late in the game. That didn't happen, though. Quite the opposite happened. The bats weren't hot, and the relief pitching kept the Tigers in that game. and allow them an opportunity to tie it in the ninth. So the Tigers right now have their second five-game win streak of the season, which is pretty cool. But they've also had four losing streaks of at least four games. So that reality in itself just shows you how up and down this year has been for the Tigers. It's been like a roller coaster ride, as a baseball year usually is, right? So, I'm not going to say that the Tigers are going to get the lead in the American League Central and this looks like a playoff team. I'm not going to say that. It's too early to say that. But right now, you have to feel positive about your ball club despite what occurred early on in this year. As we talked about the whole situation concerning Brad Ausmus, how his seat got really, really hot. And then the Tigers going to play a few lollipop teams. They get a win streak there, and then that talk kind of dies down. I think we can put that talk pretty much to bed at this point. And hey, how about the young studs for the Detroit Tigers? Hats off, because these two young pitchers in Matt Boyd and Michael Fulmer have really been a shining light for this team so far this season. Last night, lefty Matt Boyd, he threw 5 1/3 solid innings, folks. Fantastic. He only allowed one run on 3 hits, walked 5, struck out 5. Impressive stuff. Impressive stuff from Matt Boyd and Michael Fulmer, who have been coming in, you know, and we had a lot of talk and discussion about Justin Verlander and Jay-Z, Jordan Zimmermann, coming into this season, because those are the two big names when it comes to starting pitching for the Detroit Tigers, right? And we talked about how they needed to perform and really be the anchors of that starting pitching core. But Matt Boyd and Fulmer, I mean, these are two young studs that have been lights out so far for the Tigers and have kept this ball club afloat in many games this year. And it's so interesting because if you look at the history when it comes to the acquisition of Boyd and Fulmer, if you remember, those were two pieces that Dave Dombrowski secured before being let go. So, hey, hats off to Dave making sure that Boyd and Fulmer donned the old English D before he chucked up the deuces, because they have been great. They have been great. And I really do believe it, especially if Fulmer, if he keeps up the way he's playing so far this year, I mean, we could possibly be talking about the American League Rookie of the Year. So the Detroit Tigers, again, a 3-2 win over the Toronto Blue Jays. They are underway right now in the final game of a 3-game series against the Blue Jays at home at Comerica Park. After today, the Tigers will have a day or two of rest here. Have 2 days of rest. Well, 1 day, I should say, because they play the Yankees on the 10th on the road. And the Yankees, of course, they beat the Tigers on June 2nd. That was the final game before the Tigers started to go on this win streak playing the White Sox on June 3rd. So the Tigers will be foaming at the mouth for sure to try and get some revenge against the Yankees in that makeup game earlier on this month. But what do you think about this team? What do you think about this stretch of baseball that the Detroit Tigers are playing? It's impressive to me. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. Of course, you can also go to facebook.com/currentsports. Use a comment there. I will read it live here on our airwaves, or you can even tweet me at Al Martin WKAR. I want to invite right now the man behind the glass, our fantastic engineer of WKAR's Current Sports, Isaac Constance, to the show. Isaac, how you doing, my friend?
It's good for me, and it's good for the Tigers. They're roaring right now. Get it? Roaring instead of rolling. Ha ha. But no, the Tigers have been awesome, and they've turned it around in every single way possible. And this is why, with baseball, everybody just needs to calm down. Yes, this is a 5-game win streak. That's awesome. They could easily have and embark on a 3-game losing streak tomorrow. It's a long season. But, you know, you do have to focus on the turnaround, because, 3 weeks ago? Not even. Probably 2 weeks ago, people were calling for Brad Ausmus's head. And honestly, I think Ausmus has done an incredible job with this pitching rotation, helping turn it around. Al, you mentioned the role that the young rookies have played in this turnaround with Michael Fulmer and Matt Boyd. They've both been great, but Brad Ausmus also made the very gutsy and very intelligent move, if you ask me, to move Anibal Sanchez, who is an established starter, to the bullpen. I thought that almost turned around everything, and sticking with Justin Upton. I think that's the forgotten man in this equation. He scored the game-winning run last night. Of course, Kinsler's going to be good. Of course, you can rely on Cabrera, even though the start to the season was worrisome for him. But Justin Upton started off this season batting, I think, below 200, and he's turned that around. Actually, going into the Chicago White Sox series, he was batting 214. Since then, he's boosted his average a full 17 points. He's batting 231 right now. He's either had a run or an RBI in the entire series against the Chicago White Sox or the Toronto Blue Jays, and he's been awesome. Yeah, he still strikes out a lot, but for a lower spot in that lineup, he's a good way to sort of start off a late inning at bat where you might have the top of the order coming on right after that. And that's why Ian Kinsler was able to deliver last night. That's why Miguel Cabrera was also able to deliver in the later innings of that Toronto Blue Jays game last night. And it was a big part of the 11-0 run game two against Toronto on the 6th. Though, yeah, Justin Upton, I think it's important not to overlook him. He might be turning his season around, and that's much needed for these Detroit Tigers.
Yeah, Justin Upton has certainly awakened in recent weeks, without a doubt, Isaac. But I will have to disagree with you on one thing. I don't know if you, I don't know if I would call the managerial job of Brad Ausmus in recent weeks incredible. I think he's just done the obvious. I wouldn't give a lot of credit to Brad Ausmus here. I mean, I think when you're looking at Anibal Sanchez, I mean, Stevie Wonder could have seen that Anibal Sanchez needed to go to the bullpen, okay? I mean, he wasn't playing great. I mean, he battled injuries. I mean, that was an obvious move. And I don't think anybody saw Boyd and Fulmer playing like this. It was just one of those things. They're in a rotation. They've just gone out. They just happened to go out and just play stellar baseball. I don't think anyone has seen this coming. They've been very surprising during this early stretch of baseball for the Detroit Tigers.
Well, so, but isn't that why it's good managing? Because nobody saw it coming that Fulmer and Boyd would play this well? It takes a lot to trust rookies on a pitching
staff.
Well,
who else are you
going to
go to? Well, who else are you going to go to? I mean, throw those young guys in, see what they can do. I just think that was a move that was already in place before the season started. They just happened to play good baseball. I don't think that you can give credit to Brad Ausmus for saying, all right, we're going to put them in there. And if they've been hot all year, you got to ride that hot hand. That's just those are just obvious moves, I think.
Yeah, but it takes a lot to trust young players. Well, going into the season, have known the names even
of
Boyd or Fulmer? Because I didn't.
What other cards are you going to play? What other cards?
There are a lot of players in the minors. It takes something to trust these guys to immediately thrust them into a starting role.
The starting pitching, the farm league for the Tigers, as far as starting pitching goes, is not that great, Isaac. I just think that Brad Ausmus has played the obvious card here. I don't know. I wouldn't call the managerial job of Brad Ausmus incredible. I think that's a big stretch, calling it incredible. One thing I am concerned, though, when it comes to this team, Cameron Maben is out with a wrist injury. He's battled that throughout much of this season. And Victor Martinez is also not in the lineup today for the Detroit Tigers game against the Toronto Blue Jays, which, again, the first pitch has just been thrown. And I am concerned about the health of this team moving forward. It seems as though we're constantly bringing up that word. The baseball year is such a long year that anything can happen. But, Cameron Maben is a guy that, when he came from his rehab assignment for the Detroit Tigers, he was hitting over 600. I mean, just a complete hot hand. But that wrist injury has been so nagging that I worry about that moving forward. And if you're going to rest him now. So I agree with that decision. Also, Victor Martinez dealing with just trying to get some rest in that regard as well. So the health for the Detroit Tigers is something that I do worry about. And Maben is dealing with left wrist soreness, and he's out for the second consecutive game. Victor Martinez went 0-for-6 in the first two games against the Blue Jays, so he's struggling. So hey, sit him out, you know, see what happens there. But moving forward, I think that, again, it's impossible to make any hard assumptions about this team. 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Before we hit our first break, we do have a caller on line one. We've got Kurt from Grand Ledge. Kurt, how you doing?
Not too bad. How are you, Al?
I am fantastic, my man. Thanks a lot for the call. What's on your mind?
Well, I was hearing you and Isaac debating about the moves the Tigers have made and whether or not Osmus should get credit for it. And while I agree that Anibal Sanchez was an easy move, the problem is it should have happened like two starts earlier because he just didn't have the stuff. Mm-hmm. So I can't give him a lot of credit for the Sanchez thing. They do have a lot of depth in the minors in terms of starters, including they could have tried Shane Green in the starting rotation instead of the two kids that they have tried. I think that has taken some guts, not only from Osmus, but also from management. But to me, the biggest move that the Tigers have done is they finally figured out that Justin Upton wasn't a number two hitter. J.D. Martinez wasn't a number two hitter. So they put Cameron Maven in the two hole. Suddenly you have way more speed on the bases in front of the big bats. Martinez drops back down to the fifth spot, which is his perfect spot because he doesn't have to try and reach and make contact. Instead, he can just try and drive the ball with power. Mm-hmm. And Justin Upton sit down on the seventh hole where he doesn't have any pressure and try to figure his head out in terms of how not to strike out.
Right, right. I hear you. I hear what you're saying, Kurt. And going back to your point, I mean, what prospects? Okay, we're going to throw around names here. What prospects do you think the Tigers could have brought up or even right now could bring up in order to help or bring some support to the already, I think, upward trending starting pitching that they currently have on the roster? Because what I've been seeing all year is that there's really nobody in that farm league system. And that's why Brad Ausmus has really rolled the hot hands of Boyd, Fulmer, and, of course, in pretty obvious here, riding Jay-Z and Justin Verlander.
Well, they also have Daniel Morris down in the minors who
right.
was being slated to start with the club this year as in the rotation, but I think suffered some injuries and has then stayed down at AAA. And it's my understanding that he's doing very well down there. And then Shane Green came up from his rehab start, and the question was he going to go in the rotation or was he going to go in the bullpen because he'd been a starter before? Mm-hmm. So they didn't have to go with these young guys. It certainly seems to be the smart move, and it paid off. There were some other guys waiting in the wings. You know, there was the whole Buck Farmer experiment that they tried each of the last 2 years, and now he's back down in the minors.
Right.
So, you know, the trade that they made in the last year and a half has actually brought a plethora of young arms into the system. It's just a matter of figuring out which ones are actually ready.
Exactly, I hear you. All right, dude. So, Kurt, are you riding high off this 5-game win streak? Do you still have your blinking yellow light on?
you know what? The Detroit Tigers this year have been as bipolar as anybody in Major League Baseball that I've ever seen, including a few years back when I thought they were as bipolar as it gets. Mm-hmm. So, I'm not yet convinced that this win streak is going to go on or they're going to go on and play 666 baseball or anything like that for the next 2 months. But it's fun to watch right now.
Kurt, thanks so much for your call. Appreciate it, my man.
All right, bye-bye.
And as far as Matt Boyd goes, you know, and this whole thing with Matt Boyd and Michael Fulmer and how hot they've been, and even in the discussion when it comes to Daniel Norris. Daniel Norris is certainly chomping at the bit to get back to this team after being sent to AAA Toledo. It's being said that he is showing good stuff, but he did give up 2 runs on 3 hits and 3 walks while striking out 4 in 6 innings Monday night for Toledo in a 2-1 loss to the Pawtucket Red Sox, Boston's AAA affiliate. So, you know, we'll see what happens with Norris. But again, he's been so up and down. I can't say that he's going to come in and make an immediate positive impact for this team. Let's go to line 2 right now. We've got Apache on. Apache, welcome to the show.
Hey, man, how you guys doing?
Good, good. What's on your mind, Apache?
First of all, you were telling me something. You were saying something about a bear, and I'm reading Nolan Richardson's. It wouldn't be autobiography, written by somebody else. And he says in his biography, his phrase, he says, if you see me fighting a bear, you better help that bear.
I love that quote.
I love that too.
Right. Don't worry about me. Worry about the bear, huh?
Really, man. And I'm a co-sign for Isaac, man. Mm-hmm. I don't even watch the Tigers, and I'm sure he's right, so I'm a co-sign for him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What, as far as the awesomest conversation?
No, the manager.
Right, that's what I mean.
Incredible. And I haven't seen a game, so I'm sure Isaac's on the money.
Stop, Apachu. Stop, dude. I mean,
you got to remember, I'm
2 weeks ago, this man was about to get fired. Stop it. Yeah, incredible? Come on.
You know what? I think it's a good sign. I think they're going to be in the playoffs and do well. But
my goodness.
You know, you guys asked me the other day about not Golden State was the best team ever. As an amateur, as a person who just watches the game, I'm really impressed with them. They're incredible. I'm 66, and I've seen a lot of champions, and they're absolutely incredible. Still, I thought they should have lost to Oklahoma City.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I mean, down three games to one. They're only the 10th team to come back in the playoffs after being down 3-1.
The other thing is that I think Cleveland's problem is that they don't have a point guard. Okay, that man, he reminds me of Dennis Rodman. He gets the ball, and the defense cheats on him. Mm-hmm. It's a 5-on-4 defensively because he doesn't want the ball. He doesn't want to shoot the ball. He can't take it to the hole. When he shoots, he does a push shot. It's not a true pull-up jump or anything like that. And his 3-point shot is not that great either. I think he's very comfortable out there.
Which player are you talking about?
The point guard.
Matthew Dellavedova or Kyrie Irving?
Yeah. No. I guess it's an Italian name, Obadella or whatever.
Matthew Dellavedova.
He's very unimpressive. I mean, he made it to the pros. Yeah, God bless him, you know. But I don't think he's that good a point guard. I can't understand why. Last year he had a terrible series, and I don't understand why they didn't replace him. Mm-hmm. Irving, I'm not sure he's a point guard either. I think he's more of an off guard.
Right.
You know, so I think basically, fundamentally, that's their problem. And they know that the King is going to back you down. Okay. He's emphasized backing you down and doing some post up moves and so forth. And they're beating them up. But again, I think that's an incredible team. I would rank them number one. That depth is incredible. The chemistry is incredible. And I can't understand how a man who coached in his first couple of years, can be that good with team chemistry, but he's done it. So it is a lot of stars on that team. But anyway, man, I just want to throw it in there at you.
All right. Thanks so much, Apachu.
And again, I'm a co-sign, so back off my boy.
Hey, you guys can hop on that Brad Ausmus train. I just hope it doesn't drive you both into a wall, all right? All right, Apachu. Yeah, incredible is a huge stretch. I mean, I throw around the word incredible a lot. It's an old adage in sports, but to call Brad Ausmus's managerial job in the recent weeks incredible.
Not
come
managerial
on,
job, but handling Stop. Of the pitching staff. And Kurt's exactly right. When I thought
I could have done that.
No, when I thought picking.
I could have managed a starting pitcher for the Tigers. When you have Fulmer and Boyd and JV, who's been up and down a bit, you know, from the start of the year, but and you have Jordan Zimmerman pitching as well as they are. I mean, just set the lineup and go. Just set
it
and go.
In the spot that he was at. That seat was boiling over. That was so hot to trust
but you know what happened?
And go with you.
Isaac, it
if
wasn't
you don't
that.
Win,
it wasn't
you
that.
Get fired.
Isaac, it wasn't that to turn it around. It was the fact that the Tigers played 3 lollipops in a row throughout the course of 1 week, and the Tigers got hot. I mean,
they
played the Minnesota Twins. They played the Oakland A's. And I forget the team before the Twins that they played. It wasn't a great team at all. So, I mean, if you're playing those teams, that's the ideal.
Okay, but the Tigers.
Ausmus was lucky.
The Tigers were losing to bad teams
Isaac,
before. That's the difference. The Cleveland Indians would not be that number
you
one seed
I,
without the Tigers.
You and I could go out there right now and beat the Minnesota Twins, okay? They
we
weren't
could.
Playing teams like the Minnesota Twins, all right?
But
in the Oakland
Cleveland.
A's.
Cleveland's 32-25.
Isaac.
They would be below 500 if the Tigers had just gone 500
Isaac.
On them. I'm not saying it's not amazing on the whole season, but to go with Boyd and Fulmer over North
Isaac.
And Green, credit to Kurt for saying that.
Isaac.
I didn't remember
Isaac.
Green. That's impressive.
Well, first off, when it comes to Shane Green, he's battled injury. So naturally, he had to go to a rehab assignment. When it comes to Daniel Norris, the same thing with him. So naturally, you make these moves. It's not an incredible, it's an obvious you have to make this move thing. It's not like, oh, look at this move. No one saw this move coming.
But that's true.
Incredible.
Nobody saw it. You did not know Boyd or Fulmer before the
season.
Come on. Nor did I.
We are talking about a man who was about to lose his job 2 weeks ago and now calling his managerial job incredible.
His job with the pitching staff, incredible.
It's not incredible. It's okay. Can we say that? Not incredible, Isaac.
His managerial job has been okay. His job with the pitching staff has been incredible.
Seeing a lunar eclipse is incredible, okay? Seeing an asteroid come across the center of the Earth is incredible.
That's not incredible. It has been great. And considering his previous handling of the pitching staff, yes, it has been incredible. Hard to believe.
And with that, we hit our first break. When we come back, we will invite Brian Callaway, lead prep sports writer for the Lansing State Journal. Brian will talk about one incredible night at the very first annual Greater Lansing Sports Awards. You don't want to miss that and so much more. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. And let's get to our guest for today's show. His name is Brian Callaway. He is certainly a dear friend of the show. He is the lead prep sports writer for the Lansing State Journal. And yesterday, a pretty cool event happened, folks. It was the first annual Greater Lansing Sports Award banquet. And, this is going to be an event, again, the first annual. So this is hopefully a thing that will happen each and every year where local athletes who were stars at the high school level for that year are honored and they get a chance to go up to a podium, give a speech after they win the award, a red carpet gala. I mean, just really cool stuff. And there was also a special moment last night where former Michigan State quarterback Kirk Cousins returned to Lansing and he attended the event as the premier speaker, and Brian Callaway got a chance to sit down one-on-one and conduct a question and answer period with Kirk Cousins, and he's here to talk about that night and also to give us a preview of tonight's Diamond Classic Championship game between Holt and Grand Ledge. Brian, welcome to the show. How you doing?
Hey, not bad. Thanks for having me, Al. And just to jump in, I heard the conversations you guys were having before the break, and
yes.
I agree with you about the awesomeness thing, too. I mean, it's just okay with what he's done. I don't think it's been anything incredible or anything like that. So
thank you, Brian. Okay. I was going to start the interview with that question too. Like Brian was sitting on the phone listening to this banter back and forth. I mean, come on.
Best of five. It's still 3-2. I've got Kurt and Apache. No offense, Brian.
Well, Apache just had your back because Apache has your back. That's your homeboy.
That's my dude.
And yeah. I hear where Kirk is coming from, but there's no weight to that argument. I don't know, man. But I'm with you, Brian, on that. But so we got that off our chest now, right? So moving forward, I want to talk about last night, which seemed like what an incredible night. I'm flipping through the pictures right now via LSJ.com, and I see you sitting down with Kirk Cousins, again, former Michigan State quarterback great, who's now doing some great things in the NFL with the Washington Redskins. I mean, just kind of put in perspective, you know, what the emotion was last night, and how did this whole thing come about?
Yeah, well, just to start, the whole thing came about in the fall. It was, brought up to us by our managing editor, myself and James Edwards, who also played a very large role in this project that, a few sites in the USA Today network, which is what the LSJ is in, there's going to be a few sites around the country that we're going to be doing these sports awards things at the, you know, sometime during the school year honoring the best of high school athletes. And, I didn't have any really idea of what to expect or what it was going to be like when, this was mentioned to us that we would be doing this year. But everything about it exceeded the expectations that I had for it last night when I walked in there in the afternoon and kind of saw the setup of the room and saw the red carpet leading into the room and the trophies that were on display for players who were a player of the year in their respective sport. And I mean, I just think it was one of those excellent nights. And like I said, I was blown away by everything that we were able to accomplish and just, seeing all the athletes there, dressed up and their nice attire and, being able to kind of be give it an award show feel and being able to just some of the athletes see their pictures on the screen as awards were getting announced. I mean, I just thought it was a very unique feel, and it's brought a different avenue to high school sports than we've ever seen before. I mean, a lot of times, you know, we always talk about high school sports, and we only get to see them in the on the field settings, or, you know, when we're talking to them after games. But it was a nice change of pace to kind of see them in, you know, a nice attire and to get swanky up for a very nice event that, you know, where they were – where we got to celebrate them and all the good things that they do.
Yeah, you know, looking at the pictures, you know, Brian, it seemed like it was like a the Oscars or the Emmys. I mean, it was a red carpet, I believe, right? How is the setup and how many people attended?
Yeah, it was just under 1,000 people there. I think the final number was 960. And yeah, I mean, the whole idea of the night, too, is that we wanted to give it kind of like the ESPYs feel. I mean, as sports people, I mean, we all know about the ESPYs, and, you know, those are kind of the elite of the elite. And when you look at the best of sports at the ESPYs every summer. And no, that's what we, the feel that we kind of wanted to bring to it. So, you know, to have that red carpet there, to have a, you know, a little backdrop for people to come in as they're walking into the ceremony, be able to snap, get their pictures taken with their friends, or be able to have their pictures taken with their parents before, you know, finding their seat at the ceremony. It was just one of those nights like that. And, you know, we wanted to be able to have the, you know, the winners and the chance to, you know, address the crowd after they receiving an award. And I just thought it was, you know, kind of one of those unique nights that kind of brought that ESPY kind of experience to high schoolers. Because, you know, in the grand scheme of things, I mean, how many of us are ever going to be, you know, have a chance to, you know, be a part of an ESPY ceremony or anything like that? And, I mean, I just think it was kind of one of those unique opportunities that it was we were able to help provide for so many high school athletes.
Now, as I mentioned, Brian, you know, Kirk Cousins was in the house, and you got a chance to sit down with the former Michigan State quarterback star. How cool was it for you to see Kirk interact with the high schoolers as well?
Oh, it was very, very cool to see him. And I believe the message that he really relayed to the high schoolers was a very good one as well, too. And, you know, just, you know, there's so many words of wisdom that he was able to provide, and even some stories and little anecdotes from his time at Michigan State, and that maybe helped him now with the Washington Redskins. Like, you know, one of the things he mentioned was, you know, tough times don't last, you know, tough people do. And, you know, just things like that, you know, that he was able to relay. And I think that he's someone that resonates with a lot of these younger athletes, especially growing up in this area, because, you know, Kirk Cousins is someone that they're very familiar with him being at Michigan State not too long ago as well, too. So, I mean, I just feel like he really relayed a positive message that was one that was well-received by these athletes. And plus, you know, I mean, this is a guy that's coming off his best season in the NFL as well, too. And, mm-hmm. I mean, I think, you know, people recognize that, too. And he's just a guy that had some very significant moments here in East Lansing as well, too.
Now, during that sit-down with him, Brian, I mean, what sort of, you know, points really stood out when you were questioning him? And what do you think some of the big takeaways were from, you know, your interaction with him?
Well, one of the big things, and I didn't realize this, was about, you know, obviously his "you like that" comment was one of those big defining sound bites of the NFL season, and it's one that blew up quite a bit. And from talking to him about that, I mean, that was one of the things that stood out to me. Just maybe, you know, how it was something that he didn't really think it was going to blow up as big as it did. I mean, he had no idea that it was even on camera, but he kind of capitalized on that moment and was able to relay it to end up helping people out. And he talked about that, how he was able to raise money. There was "You Like That" shirts that were sold. And also, I mean, he was talking about there was a game where there was "You Like That" towels as well, too. So, I mean, he was able to take that, you know, that comment that blew up so big and help it and use it to kind of benefit people. And, you know, he also talked about, you know, him returning to Michigan and what it's like for him to return back to this East Lansing area, but also how much he loves being back in Michigan and how he and his wife, they'll split their time between Atlanta and Michigan as well, too. But he really is a guy that is true to his roots and enjoys coming back to Michigan and giving back as well, too. I mean, obviously very generous for him to come and give up his time and come speak at the ceremony and talk to so many high school athletes. But also, I mean, just all the things that he does to give back, you know, in regards to that, and just kind of uses his platform in a positive way.
Folks, if you're just now joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports, we are chatting with the lead prep sports writer for the Lansing State Journal, Brian Callaway. We are chatting with Brian about last night's first annual Greater Lansing Sports Award. So, Brian, last night, how many awards did you guys give away?
I think it was just under 40 awards that we gave away, and there were some new awards that the Lansing State Journal has never given out before. When we gave out a Courage Award, we gave out a Comeback Award. We also gave out the standard ones that we have at the end of every year, where we recognize the best multi-sport male and female athlete that's a senior. So there was that award as well, too. But, I mean, yeah, and also, there's awards given to the best band, the best mascot. So just a few other, some newer awards that, you know, the LSJ has not given out before that were included in this ceremony last night.
So who won best mascot? I'm curious.
It was, the Paloma Westphalia mascot.
I knew it.
Honor.
Right. I knew it. I love. I forget the name of the mascot, but it's a pirate, and he goes around.
Pirate Pete.
Pirate Pete. That's the name of the mascot. And he goes around. He's got like a bucket of candy, and he's always handing it out. Oh, he's the most friendly mascot in Michigan, I think, Brian.
I was actually surprised that the Waverly mascot wasn't in consideration for that as well too, because their mascot's a very entertaining one, and oftentimes at basketball games you would see their mascot do a little dance routine during breaking the action. It's quite entertaining, to say the least.
Without a doubt. So what had to be your favorite moment from last night, Brian?
For me, it was just seeing all the athletes there and, for them to have the chance to walk a red carpet and to enjoy the night. And just kind of seeing the reaction on social media and, some of the athletes, being super thrilled to be a part of the night and be, invited to the event. So, I mean, it was just kind of seeing, the athletes' reactions and kind of seeing them enjoy the special night. And, just kind of seeing, some of the athletes' reactions as they would come across stage getting their awards. I mean, to me, that was very heartwarming.
Now, I know it's early to think about this. Again, just a day removed from the ceremony. But are ideas already, rolling through that noggin of yours on how to make this event bigger and better next year?
Yeah, you start to think about things as you, go through the night and kind of process things. You think about things like, oh, it'd be cool if we maybe did this or, found a way to get more people on stage and things like that. And, some of that is in our control, some of it's out of our control. And, I'm sure we'll go back to the drawing board as we think about this in the summertime and, kind of look at the things that we thought worked well, maybe looked at things that we could improve upon. And, also, when we get feedback from people as well, too. And, I've gotten a few messages throughout the day today of people that have commented about how much they enjoyed the event and maybe they have offered a suggestion or two about things that we could do to make it better. And I mean, I think there's always going to be kinks when you do something for the first time, which is, something that, we expected. I mean, we had no idea how this was going to go. But in general, I feel like this, from our perspective, I feel like it kind of exceeded our expectations in year one.
Yes, I'm sure it was a great time last night at the Lansing Center. All right, Brian, before I get you out of here, just a brief preview of tonight's Diamond Classic Championship game between Holt and Grand Ledge. Of course, Grand Ledge trying to capture a third straight Diamond Classic title, 7th in 8 years, and, of course, 26th overall. What do you expect tonight, my man?
Yeah, well, I think this is going to be another great game. I mean, these two teams were the teams that many people thought would be in the Diamond Classic Championship game. They were kind of the top two seeds heading into the tournament and, have had kind of the two best seasons from my perspective of all baseball teams in the area. And obviously, I mean, I think it's going to be interesting to see because Holt is obviously still alive in the state tournament and, they're going to have to save some of their arms for Saturday. So we might not be able to see, their star pitcher, Jesse Hakenin, who's committed to Michigan State. He's a junior for them, and he's kind of been one of the better pitchers in the Lansing area this year. We're not going to see maybe a complete game performance out of him. I mean, we might see him for a couple of innings. The same case with Burrell Jones. I mean, obviously with Holt having something to play for, I mean, they can't afford to maybe have one of these guys go out and throw all 7 innings. So it'll be interesting to see what Holt does from a pitching perspective. And obviously Grand Ledge, I mean, they're a team that has obviously dominated this tournament on a yearly basis. And, got off to a slow start in the semifinal Monday against DeWitt, but scored 10 unanswered runs to win that game. And Brendan Baker obviously played a big role for them in helping them, get to this championship game as well, too. So, I mean, I just think, who knows who's going to pitch for Grand Ledge as well, too. I mean, obviously, Jacob Songer has been, one of their best guys all year. And he was in a little bit of trouble in Monday's game, but he didn't throw that much. And he could obviously come back and pitch for them as well. On Wednesday as well, too. So for Grand Ledge, it's kind of about maybe ending your season on the high note. And, they're obviously going to try to win this game, but also they have to keep in mind, having people ready to go for Saturday when they host a regional.
That is so very true. And I believe, is this going to be the third time that Holt and Grand Ledge have met on the diamond this year?
It'll be the fourth time. Actually, it'll be the fourth time because they played in the regular season and at Holt, and Grand Ledge swept them, and that was doubleheader that was going to determine the CAAC Blue title. And then they also met on Saturday in the district semifinal at Grand Ledge, and Holt was the one that won that game 6-0. So, I mean, if Holt wins this game, I mean, they even the season series between the teams at 2-2. But, I mean, yeah, these teams are playing for the second time in 4 or 5 days here. So, you know, these are two teams that are obviously very familiar with each other and, I mean, kind of know what to expect from each other as well.
Absolutely cool stuff. Well, I'm looking forward to it tonight. And, Brian, I look forward to seeing you tonight at Cooley Law School Stadium. Brian Callaway Lee, prep sports writer at the Lansing State Journal. Brian, I'll see you, my man.
All right, sounds good. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
You know it, my man. Always good to have you on. All right. Well, 4 minutes left here in the show. Let's go right into our transition on the back end of the show as we talk about the death of course, a superstar in the world of UFC. And, you know, this news came across everyone's reel earlier this week and really just shocked everyone. I couldn't believe it when I got the notification on my cell phone. But if you don't know, professional mixed martial artist Kimbo Slice died Monday at the age of 42. Bellator MMA announced the news. Here's a direct quote from Bellator president Scott Coker. He said in a statement, quote, "We are all shocked and saddened by the devastating and ultimately loss of Kimbo Slice, a beloved member of the Bellator family." He went on to say, a charismatic, larger-than-life personality that transcended the sport. There are no words on the cause of Slice's death. They are saying, though, that he was awaiting a heart transplant. That's being reported right now. He was awaiting a heart transplant when he sadly passed away. Again, he was 42 years old. He had been diagnosed with heart failure, and Slice complained of severe abdominal pain, shortness of breath, and nausea on Friday when he was admitted to Northwest Medical Center, where he was diagnosed with congestive heart failure. He was found to have a liver mass and placed on a ventilator in intensive care. And that's according to a Broward County Medical Examiner's report. The report stated that Slice died at 7:30 p.m. on Monday as doctors prepared to transfer him to a facility in Cleveland. And, you know, when it comes to the life and legacy of Kimbo Slice, I found out about Kimbo Slice, man, this had to be my early years of college, when Kimbo would just randomly, you know, post YouTube videos of him fighting on the streets in Florida, in Miami. And, you know, and his popularity just kind of blew up from there. And, you know, you start to see in these videos that this dude could really fight. You know, he had great technique and he actually practiced the art. And, you know, he made his debut in UFC not long after that. And it as far as the popularity of the sport goes, many people accredit, you know, the wave of Kimbo Slice when he first entered the sport. Many people credit the popularity to Kimbo Slice in many respects. And it's a bit eerie that he is gone, folks. And I say that to say, I mean, hey, we've lost Muhammad Ali. You know, we lost Prince not too long ago. David Bowie, you know, now Kimbo Slice. I announced also in our quick hit headliners the passing of Al Ackerman. Folks, life is too short. Life is too precious. Make sure that you live it to the fullest, without a doubt. As my former boss at WLNS-TV6 used to say, hug someone you love today, all right? And with that, we end today's Current Sports. Thanks so much to all of you out there for tuning in to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, right here on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. Thanks so much to Brian Callaway, lead prep sports writer for the Lansing State Journal, for joining me on today's show. Catch coverage of the Diamond Classic Championship game later on tonight on WKAR.org. Be easy, people.